My name's Allegra Jordan, and today I'd like to talk about rebuilding hearts. When I was in high school in Selma, Alabama, my AP English teacher taught me about Macbeth, and one quote that always stuck with me is the one on the slide before you. Macbeth has had a terrible number of things happen to him, yes, by his own doing, but one of the things he's most concerned about is his wife, who is no longer herself. And Macbeth talks to a doctor and says, "Can't you take care of a diseased mind and pluck from the memory this rooted sorrow?" If you look at the third slide, you'll see an image of a woman hugging someone who is no longer there. And not only is that person no longer there, but it's obliterated part of her. And she will have to rebuild herself after this has happened. And to me, that says so much about what happens when we face a catastrophe. It might be a personal catastrophe, like a betrayal of a friend or a divorce. It might be something for your whole community, such as a devastation of a big fight between different factions in the community, or just something terrible that's taken away something that you once loved about that community. I had experienced some of that, a sadness that was in my own community in Selma, Alabama, for some obvious reasons, but I also had some personal sadness in my life that led me to feel a lot like that young woman holding a ghost that was not only no longer there, but that had obliterated me. And in my journey towards rebuilding my heart, I came across a wonderful thing at Harvard University. I came across a friend. If you look at the fifth slide, you'll see an image of an African-American man, Peter Gomes, who was a reverend for more than 40 years at Harvard. He is standing in the Harvard Memorial Church Memorial Room. This church was built as a memorial to those who had died in World War I, and you'll see him in this very fancy place which honors the dead of the winning side of that conflict. But if you turn to the next slide, you'll see a small, very modest memorial, and that memorial is to the people from the community, students who had been in the community who died in the service of the enemy. That is, these German students fought for the Kaiser during World War I. And this was a terrible rift within the community. The community wanted to rebuild, but it didn't know what to do in terms of this justice versus compassion discussion. And so instead of ignoring these students, instead of erasing their history, they said, "We are going to remember every member of our community who fought in this battle, even those who are our enemies, because ultimately they were humans too." And this deep act of compassion enthralled me, in part because this was a community that said, "We want to build a bridge to the future that honors our whole community." And I thought, wow, that's a wonderful thing. A lot of good things had to have happened to get that modest memorial up, and I wanted to celebrate it in literature. One of the things that the community did to these people who were on the other side of the conflict was they were friends to them. And on the next slide, you'll see what I consider a good friend does. A good friend sees me and includes me, helps me not to stumble. But if I do, they help set me back up. They encourage my heart. I love this quote by Toni Morrison about a friend. A friend takes the pieces of who I am and gives them back to me in the right order. And sometimes this is done on a personal level. Sometimes it's done on a civic level to help us rebuild in good ways, in ways that help us flourish. And we need friends to help us do that. Realistic cures from great catastrophe, the way that we rebuild hearts, is a slow process, and it takes us time to do this. I wanted to share a few images that encourage the heart when we're rebuilding from catastrophe to say, hey, this can be done, and it's worth doing it well. The first image is from the Daily Mirror, a British newspaper, where we see soldiers from both sides of World War I on Christmas Day celebrating the Christmas Truce of 1914. 100 years ago, this December, we'll find we found the image of these soldiers crawling out of their trenches and singing Silent Night together, to be beyond comprehension. This miracle where people use their imaginations for something other than violence is so beautiful, and I hope will be told the world over the rest of humanity, because it's such a hopeful image that yes, we can rebuild even from the devastation of war. The next image is of Winslow Homer's Veteran in a New Field. Here we see a man who's laid aside his violent mind. In the corner, you'll see his gun and his canteen and his jacket. And he goes back to doing the very simple things that rebuild communities. The next image is of a montage created by an artist from near Selma, Charlie Lucas. It's called In the Belly of a Ship, and from reclaimed objects, he's created the journey of slaves to America through that belly of the ship. And ultimately, he has these images with big lips on them. And he said, these are the images of my most recent ancestors. And I created big lips because they loved kissing each other. And I wanted them to be able to do that. So yes, there was terrible things that had happened. But there's also the marvelous of life that Charlie celebrates. Another image we have is the Reconciliation statue that's found in Coventry Cathedral, Hiroshima, on the Berlin Wall, and in Belfast. And it's an image of two people who have lamented their sorrows. They're lamenting, they're crying on each other's shoulders. And in their embrace, they create a bridge. And this is a bridge that everybody can walk with. In this case, under their arms, under their lament, they form a bridge which our society can renew through. Now, maybe not everybody's ready for this in our communities, but the idea that this imagination can take place, that this statue gives us an alternative narrative to another cycle of violence, is something we need to celebrate more of in our world. We can overcome these difficult journeys that we've had personally, as a community, but we need to do some very specific things to honor the marvelous in our lives, to build that imagination so that when we address the very real difficult things of life, we know that that's not all that there is. The Japanese have a beautiful idea to repair with gold, kintsukuroi, that is repairing a pottery with gold or silver and understanding that the piece is more beautiful for having been broken. Nobody likes being broken, but we have a choice about how we repair. And if we can make that repair something beautiful, then we don't have to keep our suffering. We can keep our growth without that. I close with a short snippet from a poem that Seamus Heaney translated from Sophocles. Sophocles knew about these cycles of catastrophe that can go on forever, you know, perhaps as they had in Seamus Heaney's own world of Northern Ireland. Think of it, 1,000 years of basically the same argument. We don't want our own world to be that, our families to be that, or even our communities to be that. And Heaney translated this snippet called A Cure at Troy from Sophocles, which goes like this. Human beings suffer. They torture one another. They get hurt and get hard. History says, don't hope on this side of the grave. But then, once in a lifetime, the longed-for tidal wave of justice can rise up and hope and history rhyme. So hope for a great sea change on the far side of revenge. Believe that a farther shore is reachable from here. Believe in miracles and cures and healing wells. Thank you.